Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pina, and I'm bringing you today's word for December 10th, 2025. Man, we're getting close to the end of the year. I normally shut this down around December 18th or so. I'll probably go to around December 20th this year, but at some point I have to shut it down, take a break, and then, you know, hear from the Lord concerning next year. But we've been studying a lot this year about the grace of God. I hope that for those of you that have been walking with us all year, you've been growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're new here, we've been doing today's word. Now, this month actually is our 28th anniversary. So starting next month, we're going into year number 29 of today's word. The videos that, you know, in written form, the videos started in 2010. And so we actually have thousands of episodes online, on YouTube, and on our podcast, and they're available to you for free. So please check those out. Right now, we're doing a study where we're going through the book of Galatians. Yesterday, we studied Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Today, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And I've taught on Galatians 5 and 6 for years. And so Galatians 5 and 6 says, faith works by love, and I've done a lot of teaching on that. So today is going to be somewhat like a faith refresher. This is grace, put in the comments, faith refresher. This is grace in Galatians part 132. So we're 132 messages into this series. And the title is How Faith Actually Works. So this is going to be a faith refresher where I like to teach from the Word of God, obviously, how these things work. You will never maximize what you do not understand. And so if you don't have a functional knowledge of how faith works, then you can't, you know, even though the Bible commands us to walk and live by faith, it's hard for you to do it if you don't understand it. So I'm going to give you, I pray, the Holy Spirit through me, because the Bible says that we have not need that any man would teach us anything, but the anointing which we receive from the Father, not from this world, He teaches us all things. So the Holy Spirit is actually the teacher. And I yield to the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit teaches through me in my flavor, right? So it's going to come through the filter of my style and my personality. It's God's truth through my personality. As this teaching comes forth, I'm going to teach you how faith actually works. And the underlying truth is that faith works by love. Faith works when we are convinced that God loves us. All right, let's get ready for the word. This is going to be good. All right, let me just say this real quick. If you missed yesterday's message, you should go back and watch that, because I told the story yesterday of how I really was teaching faith for years. And so I started preaching in 1996 and started today's word in 1997. And it wasn't until 2012 that I really started studying the grace of God. But for all those years before 2012, everything I taught was faith, 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 faith. And it wasn't that my teaching was incorrect, but it was definitely incomplete, because it's hard to live by faith if you don't understand the grace of God. And so I taught on faith for years, and now with understanding of the little bit of revelation that God has given me about the grace of God, now I can teach faith in a way that I believe is much more rooted and grounded in God's heartbeat for us. And that's what we'll deal with today. So there's four foundational scriptures I've been giving you all year. Let me read those for you first. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 from the Passion Translation says, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you would have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. I say amen to that. I mean, say amen to that, glory to God. I've been reading that scripture to you every day this year. I know next year we're going to move on, but That's a scripture you might want to hold on to. That's a good verse. Don't let it go. Galatians 5 and 4 is actually something we dealt with yesterday. If you want to be made right with God by fulfilling the obligations of the law, like you're a religious person, you have cut yourself off from more than just your flesh. You've actually cut yourself off from Jesus, and you have fallen from grace. You have fallen from the revelation of God's grace. You're not living or resting in the grace of God. You're living by works. You're living by performance. Romans 6 and 14 says, sin will no longer be your master because you're not under the law. You now live under grace. And then 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 says, I am who I am by the grace of God. God's grace towards me was not in vain. I did work harder than all of the other apostles, but then again, it was not even me. It was the grace of God through me or with me, for me, by me. So everything that I am, whatever good I am, I attribute it to God. Whatever not so good I am, that's on me. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 is what we're going to deal with today. So this is what it says in the Passion Translation. But we have the true hope that comes from being made right with God. And by the Spirit, we wait eagerly for this hope. When you're placed into the Anointed One and you are joined with Him, then guess what? Circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living by faith, and our faith is activated and brought to perfection by love. Galatians 5, 5 and 6 in the New King James Version says it this way. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So we are living with this hope of righteousness by faith. And then he says this in verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. That it doesn't even matter. All that matters now is faith, and faith works by love. All that matters now is faith, put in the chat, faith works by love. 1 John 4 and 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So we have known the love and believe the love. Put in the chat, say, I believe the love. Knowing the love is one thing, but no, I believe that God loves me. I believe that I am God's favorite. I believe that I'm God's child. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but if I don't have love, I become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all of this faith so that I can move a mountain, if I don't have love, honestly, I'm nothing. Ephesians 3 and 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in God's love. What I want to do is what God wants is for us to be rooted and grounded in God's love. The Apostle Paul in yesterday's message gave us like a hard truth, especially for the believers in Galatia at the time. That if you rely on works, if you rely on your performance, if you have this inkling to say, well, you know, God has to bless me because I go to church every Sunday. God has to bless me because I'm a good giver. God has to bless, you know, I work at the food bank, you know. And so if that's your mindset, then Jesus is irrelevant to you, because what you have done is that you've made your life about you and your performance instead of resting in Jesus's finished work. I do work, but I'm not working for grace. I'm working by grace, and there is a revelation of a difference. And so the Apostle Paul made that very clear yesterday, that we cannot rely on human effort. And so now he's taking it to another level as we look at verses 5 and verse 6. Yesterday, he told us that if you rely on yourself, you've fallen from grace. Today, he goes on to say, listen, let me talk about this righteousness, and I'm going to talk about faith. We have a hope of righteousness. Now, this hope of righteousness is a hope where we know that we're righteous right now, but our righteousness will be fully manifested when we stand before Jesus face to face, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And then he transitions to talking about faith, and he says that in the kingdom of God, under this new covenant, circumcision, that doesn't even matter. Like, outward works don't matter. All that matters now is faith. And then faith works by love. Now, this whole uncircumcision or circumcision thing, I know it doesn't mean much to us today, right? Like there's guys that are like, are you circumcised? My parents circumcised me. Oh, dude, I got a cousin that's not circumcised. Like, that really doesn't matter to us today. But when the Apostle Paul was saying this was a big deal, because he was talking to people that for centuries, That was like the differentiating factor. Like, you know, Jews were circumcised. Everybody else was not. And so, like, that was a big deal. And so, like, when you're circumcised, you're part of God's elect. When you're circumcised, you're part of God's family. And the Apostle Paul is like, he's talking to people that this mattered to them. And he says, hey, guys, that don't matter no more. And so, because it's a work. And like, if an outward thing like that matters, then faith doesn't matter. Then Jesus is irrelevant, because you're like it can't matter. Like, what you're doing is you're trying to base like who you are on this physical thing. And no, in the kingdom of God, we have to base who we are by faith, in our faith in Jesus. It's not something you can see. The kingdom of God is in you, right? The kingdom of God is not this outward thing. The kingdom of God is within you. It's something that happens in the spirit. It's something that happens by faith. Everything that matters now is faith, and faith works by love. So what does this mean for you today? I have four things to share with you in this morning, and I pray that you open up your heart to receive. You ready? Four things. Number one, here we go. We rest by the Spirit. We don't work in the flesh. So the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 5:5, he contrasts two groups of people. He's talking about people that live by faith and then people that are like legalistic or ritualistic or religious. And he's saying that the religious people or the legalists are working to obtain righteousness through the law. And so Paul says, that's not how we do it. For we, through the Spirit, so we're not doing it through the law, we're doing it through the Spirit. And we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, in one sense, we are the righteousness of God right now by faith. And then he's saying, in another sense, we have this hope of righteousness. But the point is that I'm living with an eternal hope that I am righteous, but my righteousness is coming by faith, is not coming by performance. The other group is doing it by performance. And so they're saying, I need to do this to be righteous. And the people that are doing it by faith are saying, no, I will go do what you're saying that we should do. I agree. We should go to church. We should give. We should feed the poor. We should feed the homeless. We should go into prison. I'm good with all of that. But I'm not doing it to be righteous. I'm doing it because I'm righteous. I'm doing it because I'm already resting in the Spirit. I'm doing it because I'm led by the Holy. I'm not doing it to be righteous. I'm doing it because I'm righteous. And there's a big difference. So the hope of righteousness that the Apostle Paul is talking about is not like a hope that I'm going to be righteous someday. No, I'm righteous right now. Say, I'm righteous now. I'm the righteousness of God by faith. But what it is a confident expectation that my righteousness, my right standing with God comes by faith. My right standing with God does not come by performance. My right standing with God comes by faith. So I'm right now. Righteousness means, I'm righteous means that I have a right standing with God. And I have a right standing with God right now, because I have exercised faith in Christ Jesus. Now, a religious person, on the other hand, is trying to earn righteousness through performance, through compliance with rules, rites, rituals, routines, tradition, etc. Now, the Apostle Paul says these people have not entered into God's rest. Now, why? Because they're doing all these things. And if they're honest, they're anxious. If they're honest, because if you really are relying on your performance to stand before God, come on, dude, you know that you don't have peace in your heart. You don't have peace in your heart because you're just not that good. But when you know that, no, I am the righteousness of God now by faith. Okay, let me say it this way. When I was religious, because I was raised religious. So when I was religious, whenever anybody said the day of judgment, it's almost like I heard, ooh, like the day of judgment. So like I would think on the day of judgment, like, you know, like people that are religious say stuff like, oh, we, brother Rick, don't, you're too confident. We can scarcely be saved. Like, you know, by the skin of our teeth, may we all make it into heaven. Well, you know, we can scarcely be saved. No, the Bible says these things were written that you would know that you have eternal life. And so like who I am in Christ Jesus is already settled. My position in the kingdom is already settled. Me going to heaven, that's already settled. There's no scarcely nothing. Like I'm born again. Like I'm covered by the blood of Jesus and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I'm settled. Like my position in the kingdom, settled. Me, like me knowing who I am, that's settled. That's why I don't have to bow down to anybody else. This is why, because I know who I am. Like I know, like whenever I had to go brief somebody that was like, you know, in this world, very important, and people would get very nervous about presenting to these people. And they would say, well, let's bring in Rick. And then Rick, you go present. And they would be like, Rick, why are you so confident? I don't know if that person is born again or not, but if they're not born again, I would have to take a demotion to be them. Like you guys are getting caught up in all these titles. I know who I am. Like I know I'm a child of the Most High God. You know what I'm saying? And that's already settled. And so my assignment in the kingdom is settled. My assignment in the kingdom was settled before the world began. So my job now is just to believe what God believes about me. Put in the chat, say, I believe what God believes. I have to believe what God believes about me. I have to pursue whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to me about the future that he planned for my life. And now I'm living by faith, but I'm doing it while I'm resting in God's grace. I'm doing it with peace because I know that God loves me and that God wants to bless me because God wants to bless me because God is good, not because I'm good. That's how faith works, by love. See, Paul is emphasizing that all of this happens through the Spirit. This doesn't happen through performance. This doesn't happen in your own humanity, your power, your strength. You're just not that good. You got to get over the fact that you're not that good. You're not good. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. Like standing before God, going back to the whole day of judgment thing, instead of standing before God on the day of judgment, being, woo, you know what 1 John 4:16-17 says? That we can stand before God on the day of judgment with boldness, with confidence. Why? Because 1 John 4:17 says, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, because I'm covered by the blood, because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, then I can stand before God on the day of judgment with confidence and boldness, because as Jesus is, so am I in this world. Romans 5:5 says this, God pours out his love in our hearts and he fills us up through the Holy Ghost. He fills us up with a hope that does not disappoint. As you know, in the world, people say, oh, Brother Rick, do not get your hopes up because you might be disappointed. No, Romans 5:5 says, I have a hope that does not disappoint. The Holy Ghost will be like, hey, son, get your hopes up. I need you to believe bigger. I need you to open up your heart stronger. I need you to go to another level. Why? Because I have a hope for you that does not disappoint. I'm walking with God and God is walking with me, and the Holy Ghost is giving me dreams while I'm sleeping, open visions while I'm awake. He's speaking to me while I'm driving my car, and it builds up a hope and I shall not be disappointed. No, I want to believe on the level that God wants to believe for my life. I'm believing what God believes about me. I'm confident in knowing that I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm a born again, spirit filled, Holy Ghost led believer. Glory to God. I'm a world changer. I'm an atmosphere setter. I'm a child of the Most High God. So I believe what God believes about me. God's love has been poured out in my heart. So I have a hope that does not disappoint. Why? Because I get to walk in the rhythm of God's grace, knowing that God is leading me and ushering me into the life that he destined for me. And my life is all about him. I'm not striving to perform anything. It's not about me trying to make up. I'm pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm not making my own way prosperous. I'm not making nothing happen. I'm believing God. I have a confident expectation of good. Say amen to that. That's what hope means. A confident expectation of good. All right. Number two, external rules have no power in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul has made this very clear. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matters anything. It avails nothing. And of course, this would have been a shock to these Jewish believers that for centuries, the circumcision was a sign of their covenant. It was a proof that they were children of Abraham. But he said, no, the proof is Jesus. That physical proof, that stuff is worthless. Don't be out here trying to get circumcised and you 42 years old and there's no anesthesia. You must be crazy. Joker sharpening a rock, talking about, no, bro, get away from me with that. Right? So no, we don't need all that. Why? Because that's physical stuff. That physical circumcision, Paul was like, that don't even matter. That you carry it as a religious badge of honor. But no, what you gotta be like, you know, and people today don't do the circumcision today. You know what they do today? I'm Deacon Johnson. You know, I'm a deacon in my church. You know, I'm a usher. I'm the head usher. I'm the chairman of the deacon board. You know, I go to church every Sunday, or I serve with the food pantry. I do this and I do that. Like, you know, no, Paul is saying none of that stuff matters to God. Like, you're trying to impress. Don't be impressed. Rest in who it is that God has called you to do, called you to be. Your denomination could say, hey, this person has been water baptized, and they were confirmed, and they're sanctified, and they have a title, and we gave them a clergy collar, and you know, they're this and they're that. Your denomination could say all of that. It doesn't matter if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you're not resting in God's love. Like, and if you don't have faith in Jesus, you can have a bunch of stuff. You can have a bunch of religious paperwork. But at the end of the day, Paul is saying all that matters in the New Testament, all that matters is faith. And faith works by love. You can have a form of godliness. None of that matters. You know that what matters now is faith. And faith works by love. So it's not about your religious resume. It's not about your title. It's not about your tenure. It's not about your tradition. You know, all that matters now is for you to walk and live by faith. And your faith is only going to work when you are convinced that God loves you. You got to believe what God believes about you. You got to walk with the Holy Spirit. You got to believe the Holy Spirit even when God is telling you to do something and you have no sense, realm, evidence to support it. Like God is telling me to do something and I don't have an email. I don't have a letter in the mail. I don't have a phone call. I don't have a text message. I don't have nothing to support. Nothing that I can see, touch, taste, smell, nothing. I have zero sense, realm, evidence to support it, but I still believe it. Why? Because God said it. Oh my God. So why? What am I doing? I'm walking and living by faith. I'm not living by performance. I'm not pointing at some external thing. I'm not looking. No. I am walking and living by faith. My life is fueled by every word that God speaks to me. Come on, Matthew 4:4. Every word that God speaks to me on the inside, I'm living by every word that proceeds from out of the mouth of God for me. And as a result, I walk in power and authority. Jesus said he gives us power. He gives us authority over the enemy and over the kingdom of darkness. And nothing shall by in any means harm us. My power and my authority comes from resting in Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. It's not about my religious resume. It's not about my pedigree. I don't care if your father was Bishop Bubblegum and your grandfather is Apostle Bubblegum. Like at the end of the day, it's not about none of that. Like God is, it's about your faith. Like you, God doesn't have any grandchildren. It's about your faith. God doesn't have any grand. You can't live off of your parents' faith or your grandparents' faith. You have to walk and live by faith for yourself, and faith works by love. Say amen to that. Number three, don't turn faith works by love into a new law. So the Apostle Paul has been teaching us not to live by the law. Please don't take faith works by love and turn that into a new law, right? Because I used to think this way. When I before 2012, when I read faith works by love, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, for my faith to work, I need to love everybody right. I need to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. I need to love everybody else. Lord, I love you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. Lord, I love my neighbor as I do myself. But really, do you? I mean, don't act like you're all that. Honestly, do you? I know you say it, but do you? We could not even love others or love God if God didn't love us first. Even love is a form of grace. So don't make this a law saying, oh, for my faith to work, I got to love everybody right. Because if I don't love everybody right, then God is not going to bless me. God is not going to answer my prayers. Listen, don't make this a law. The Apostle Paul was not saying that your faith is going to be strong when your love for God is strong. No, the Apostle Paul was actually saying your faith is going to be strong when you realize that God's love for you is strong. Because if the Apostle Paul, I used to think that faith works by love, Galatians 5:6, meant that the spotlight is now on me to live by faith and I have to love perfectly. But if that was the case, then that would be going against everything the Apostle Paul just taught in Galatians 1:2, 3, and 4. How could he say something in Galatians 5:6 that contradicts everything he wrote in the book up to this point? No, he's not putting a spotlight on you. He's putting a spotlight on God. He's saying, I want you to get a revelation of the fact that God loves you. And when you get a revelation of the fact that God loves you, man, your faith is going to work by love. Your faith is going to work because you will know that you are a child of the Most High God. Your faith is going to be strong because you know that God's love for you is unconditional and everlasting and inexhaustible. Your faith is going to be strong because I know that neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Come on now. My faith is strong. Why? Because I know that that God loves me. And when you know that God, when I would go into the jail, I did this all the time. I would go into the jail and I would have a new group of guys that I'm preaching to. And I would go in and they would open up the cell here, right, in Manassas. And I'll go in and they'd click, 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 lock me in there. They'd be like, I'll be back in an hour. And I'm just in this jail with these guys. And I a lot of times I would go and I'll say, hey, God, say this. Say, God loves me. And they'll say, God loves me. And I said, no. Say, God loves me. And they say, God loves me. And I'll say, okay, listen, think about it. Meditate on it for a minute. Say, God loves me and I know it. And when they would say, God loves me and I know it. And sometimes I would make them say it so many times where they finally would believe it. And I could tell when they believe it. When they believe that God loves them, I'm talking about dudes with tattoos and all of this stuff. Big dudes would just come and fall on my shoulder here and just crying and weeping because they finally get it. God loves me. God loves him. And it is the love of God. When you know that God loves you, your faith is going to be strong. Your faith is going to be energized. When you know that I'm not trying to work up. No. I'm resting in God's love. And when you know that God loves you, and when you know that God wants to bless you because God wants to bless you because God is good, not because you're good, it changes your whole faith life. You believe what God believes about you because it's not about you anymore. It's about what God wants to do in your life. It's all about him. Say amen to that. Number four, let me let you go. It's not just your love for God or love for others. It's all about you believing what God believes about you. It is believing in the love that God has for you. The Apostle John said this, we have known and we believe the love. Say that, I believe the love. When you believe the love that God has for you, when you know God's love and you believe the love and you believe that I'm God's beloved, I'm God's favorite. That's 1 John 4:16. We have known the love, and we believe the love. When you believe the love that God has for you, and when you're fully persuaded that God loves you unconditionally, then you're going to have a faith that is unmovable. It is unshakable. Why? Because your faith is no longer based on you and your performance towards God. It is based on God and his love for you, and his love for you is unconditional. But if you doubt God's willingness to bless you, it's because you're doubting God's love. Think about it. Every time you doubt, oh, I don't know if God is going to do this, is because you're doubting God's love because you're focusing on your performance. Oh, I don't know if God's going to bless us, babe. Why? Because you know you did something wrong and you're like, well, I'm not that good. So now you're focusing on you and your performance and you're not focusing on God and his unconditional and everlasting love for you. See, I'm convinced that God loves me. So God wants to use me in a way that is in alignment with his plans for my life. And what he wants me to do is believe it. So the only way for me to believe what God believes about me and to believe on that level is for me to be fully persuaded that God loves me. Faith is not you trying to convince God. Faith is what happens when God convinces you. Faith, God has fully persuaded me of the plans that he wants to do. So now I say yes to his plans. Why? Because I believe the love. And I know God loves me. And this is how faith works. How faith actually works is your faith will be strong when you know God loves you. You got it? Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. This is a message you might want to listen to again. Say this. Say, Father, I thank you that I am no longer trying to earn righteousness through the flesh. I declare that external rules and religious performance avails nothing in my life. My life is governed by one major spiritual law. I live by faith, and faith works by love. And I'm not even going to turn that into a law. It's not about me loving others. It's about your love for me. I am fully persuaded that you love me. So my faith is strong because I know you love me unconditionally and unceasingly and unfailingly. So I believe the love. I rest in the love. I know you want to protect me because you love me. I know you provide for me because you love me. I know you'll promote me because you love me. I believe the love. I'm living the grace life, and greater is coming for me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word. Tomorrow I'm going to have another one. I love you. God loves you more. Have an amazing day. Greater is coming for you. Listen, three things. Number one, leave me some comments in the chat if this message was a blessing to you. Number two, share it on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. Number three, listen to this outro video. There is some information here for you. I love you. God loves you more. Have an amazing day. God bless you. If our ministry is a blessing to you, please consider becoming a partner with Rick and Isabella Pena Ministries. Not only will you support the Word of God going out on a daily basis, but you will also support our school in the Dominican Republic, where we are providing 200 Haitian children a Christ-based education free of charge and also a hot meal every day. If you want to become a partner with us, go to ripministries.org and you'll be able to do so there. If you don't have any of my materials, well, let me just show you a few things. Well, this is my first book, Level Up Your Life, where I cover how to level up your life in five areas of your life. Here's Grace-Based Success. It's a daily devotional where in 28 days, you'll be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's two affirmations books, one for men and one for women. These books will help you to align your faith, your heart, and your lips with the Word of God. Or just go to rickpena.co. You'll see all the books there, apparel. Please make yourself available to those materials. They will be a blessing to you. Lastly, Isabella and I have been committed to coaching and mentorship for many, many years. And the Lord led me to use a platform where I could do it online, where we could leverage ourselves and scale. So now we have over 600 videos and continuing to grow. We're recording videos on a weekly basis where we're covering how to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and how to be successful as a Christian and in business and with relationships and et cetera. So if you're interested in that, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pena. You will be blessed. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.